Drew, TikTok's going to be banned. What are we going to do? How's that going to impact our faith?
Can we bring Vine back?
Yeah, you know what? I'll jump back on MySpace, see if that's still around. Coming up on this episode, what does social media have to do with our faith? Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Eyes on Jesus podcast with Drew and Tim, two pastors discussing practical details about life, leadership, parenting, and being more centered around Jesus first. The goal of this show is to help you keep your eyes on Jesus through the busyness of life and clutter of your schedules. Now, join us for the conversation.
Hey, welcome to the Eyes on Jesus podcast with Drew and Tim. We're here with you today talking about a fresh, hot, off-the-press topic of TikTok and the ban. How does this impact you? Does it impact you? Do you even own TikTok? Because quite a few million Americans do. And so we want to talk about how that impacts our faith. Does it impact your faith? What does social media do to your faith as a Christ follower who tries to keep our eyes on Jesus? But before we get there, Drew, what's going on? How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Over some sickness in the family, but doing good. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to talking about this topic because it's really, man, there's so many interesting things going on in our world right now and going on in our country. And certainly this is one of them. And to really discover what TikTok means to everybody individually and then discuss, well, how does that impact our faith? Like, I'm looking forward to that very much. How about you? What's new with you?
Yeah, it's funny because we've done episodes on ChatGPT and social media, and I feel like those are even outdated now because so much changes almost month to month, especially ChatGPT. I was playing around with it this past week, and there's this new software where you can create songs, and it's nuts how on point it is. So you go to ChatGPT, you have it write a song for you. Then you go over to this other program, which right now is free. I'm not going to promote it because I don't know much about it other than I was playing around with it. And you basically give it words and lyrics. You give it a chorus and you select the type of music you want, whether it's like instrumental, pop, rock, whatever. And then literally in seconds, it spits you out a song, like a full song with words that someone's singing and background music, and it's amazing. And so this other pastor at work, Joe, and I have been giving us songs back and forth about silly stuff in our lives, and I threw you a song for your church,
it's
actually pretty good.
It was great. It had the vision statement in it and everything. It was very clear that ChatGPT knew me.
It did. My favorite line was like, keep your eyes on Jesus, just like the podcast says. Yeah. So anyway, it's crazy what you can do. And also how you should not believe almost anything you hear anymore. Because you go through Facebook and with AI images now that are prevalent, you're like, oh, wow, look at that image. And, you know, there's ways to tell that it's AI and soon to be probably that you can't tell. I mean, just look at the fingers on someone or their face. It's distorted, and it's usually a giveaway, but some people are getting really good at it to the point that
deep fakes, man,
it's tricking a lot of people. And so that's a concern being on social media now. Even videos, anything that you see that's like, oh, look at the UFO or look at the supernatural thing, you just can't believe any of it anymore. You can't believe it, even with video evidence, which is kind of sad, but also the world we live in.
Yeah, don't you think this is like where it's going though? Like, isn't this what we do as humanity? Like, we take something and then we just like bury it. Like, we just destroy it. We just make it the worst thing ever. Like, isn't this what humanity does? I just feel like this is replicated over and repeated over and over again. We have this thing, whether it's TikTok, whether it's Instagram, whether it's Facebook, ChatGPT, like, we have this thing. And as soon as we get a tool, it's like as quick as possible, humanity's like, how can we leverage this to just destroy humanity?
Yeah.
It's terrible. Yeah. It's really terrible. It's like all we do with technology is find out how to sin faster. It's crazy, man. It's really crazy. And now here we are with TikTok. You know, you've got 170 million Americans using TikTok. And how do we handle not only the deep fakes that are happening, but how do we handle all the fighting back and forth and the opinions back and forth? And then now in the midst of all of it, it sounds like, oh, we might just ban TikTok.
Yeah. Yeah. So this comes from the American government, which is giving the Beijing-based parent company ByteDance 9 months to sell the company, with a possible additional 3 months if a sale is in progress. or they can divest, either sell it or divest. It doesn't mean that TikTok will be banned per se, but it might mean that it's banned in America. There'll also be workarounds you can imagine that you can use a different app store from a different country and download it. If you currently have TikTok, it doesn't mean that it will disappear off your phone. It just means that you won't be able to re-download it off of Apple or Google's stores. So it's not as dramatic as some people want to make it sound when you hear the headlines that TikTok is being banned and people freak out. First of all, why are you freaking out? It's just an app. Even if you make money on there or find some entertainment value on it, it's still just an app that we function very well with without it 5 years ago. And so that's kind of the topic at hand here is, okay, TikTok, let's say it disappears. And this is dealing with hypotheticals on this podcast, but it's really to align our faith with how are we being impacted by social media and to really think through it. And this is not just Drew and myself talking about this. I want you to think as we go through this episode, how is social media impacting your faith? Because it's impacting it. Both, we'll talk about the positives and the negatives, but there's no doubt that social media, with as prevalent as it is impacting your faith. And if you have zero social media, good for you. Absolutely.
It's great.
But you, if that's you, you're in the very,
you're
very
an anomaly.
Minority. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're my dad, basically. Doesn't even have a smartphone, and good for him. But you also need to be aware that you're in a phase of life, a phase of human history that is unique for hundreds and thousands of years. The fact that we have devices at all, a computer in your pocket. I mean, just think back to the 1960s computers that took up an entire building.
Yep.
Right. To now having a computer in your pocket that not only does things like having a calculator, you know, growing up in school, I mean, I remember the TI-83 was like so advanced and so like amazing. Yeah. And right. And now we have just the amount of information in our pockets and the amount of just processing power, the amount of access to the entire world that we have in our pockets. And then giving that to a young child is a cautionary thing that we have to talk about. And I think as it comes to our faith, it is a quick way to destroy your peace, to destroy your feelings of calmness, to give you, it can give you anxiety. It can do a lot of things that kind of put you along the path that is leading away from God instead of leading to God. And so that's kind of where we'll take the conversation is, you know, what are the advantages? Why are we even on TikTok? And Drew, I feel bad for you because you, I think in the last month, you went from like 200 to 2,000 almost TikTok followers.
That's
correct. So good for you, man. I hate for them to pull the rug out from under you.
I've actually been putting some energy towards TikTok, not just on behalf of myself, but our church, and trying to really, you know, hit that generation, which now it's not even really hit the generation. It's everybody's on TikTok. Yeah. And, you know, it seems like every time I post something faith related on Facebook, no one sees it.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting how that happens. Yeah. And then in Instagram, more of the same. But TikTok, like, you can get some reach. And so I've been really encouraged by that. You're exactly right when it comes to TikTok and any social media app. Every study you look up, every statistic you look up, it is not affecting our mind, our heart, and our spiritual life in a positive way. It just isn't. And there's no, like, anybody who says anything different is a fraud, and it's just not factual. There's nothing to stand on. And so I'm sure that there are plenty of examples of people using social media for a positive influence. I try to do that as well, certainly. But there is nothing in scrolling for 3.5 hours a day, which, by the way, the average now is like 7 hours a day for teenagers on social media. 7 hours a day.
Wow.
And so there's nothing that's going to convince me, and there's certainly no factual evidence to back up. That's healthy. That's a good thing, that looking at other people doing other things and chasing followers and chasing likes and chasing fame, that is not good for your soul. And it's certainly a big distraction to take you away from things that you could be doing, like prayer, like getting in the word, like spending quiet time, like even spending time with someone else, having a conversation.
Yeah.
And so every stat that you look at is, you know, social media is kind of the gateway to check out from the real world and get into this flow of depression, anxiety, stress, then we see that depression, anxiety, and stress is being overdiagnosed in our country. And then we see that we are overprescribing in our country. And then we see that mental health is on the decline. And all of these things like contribute to one another. So it's certainly something that can be used for good. I'm still not sure that it's the thing that should be used for good. And it's attention, man. It's attention. There are some days that I'm really big on, you know what, our church shouldn't be on social media. We shouldn't be on social media. I shouldn't be on social media. We should totally step away from this. And then there's other days where I'm like, how would people even know that we exist? And so that's the tension, right? The tension of like, I need to be on this platform and bring positivity, and the tension of I'm going to trust God to allow the word to spread however it needs to spread, and that kind of thing. So sometimes it's both and, sometimes you're in different seasons, but it's not healthy. None of it's healthy in big increments. And so it's our job to just be disciplined, and our job to recognize like, hey, I can be on TikTok, but I don't need to be on it for 7 hours. I don't need to be on it for 3 hours. Like maybe you just make a post and move on.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think that being self-aware of why you're on there and what the benefits or negative things that are affecting you is the first step to being on social media. We're not telling you to delete social media off your phone, but this is an awareness episode to ask yourself these questions. And we don't know your habits. We don't know how much time you're spending on there, and we don't need to know, but that's for you to know. It's between you and God, and have some accountability with a spouse or a friend or a mentor or somebody that can hold you to that. I mean, share your screen time with somebody. You know, I think it was when we had Brady Shearer on, you know, he's like, a good accountability is just go through your For You page or your discovery page with somebody, and whatever ads are popping up is usually stuff that you're clicking or looking at. And that's kind of a good, you know, modern day accountability. And it's also a good episode. I refer you to that, you know, to make sure that, you know, the benefits of it for churches, there's a lot of benefits for churches. It's kind of the new era of discoverability. You know, back when Facebook first came out, even when TikTok first came out, and like not first came out, but when I was on it in 2020, you know, everyone was home from the pandemic and TikTok blew up into just a crazy time because anyone could jump on there. You know, you had this whole Christian TikTok explosion of these new converts that all of a sudden had a platform, which was scary in multiple ways because they were, many of them were spouting off some insane doctrine things. And so
they were spouting off what they had heard on another TikTok and adopting it as their self. And then someone else spouted off that. And
So you had this whole phase of TikTok where anyone could jump on and get thousands of views. And now it's really hard. And I know hundreds of creators on TikTok that have been banned because they have a Christian message. And you see this more and more is either you're straight up banned or your shadow band, which just means you don't get the views that you should for an account of your size because of the message you're saying. And there's people that get banned for just insane things where it pulls down a video and flags you. And you're like, what was wrong with that video? You listen to it again and there's nothing wrong with it. But, you know, TikTok is a China-based company, not a Christian-based company. If multiple people see your video that don't agree with it, they can flag it and report it. And some person headquarters somewhere is like, oh yeah, I don't like that video either. Click, you know, and they take it off. And so it's not the best format as far as spreading the gospel. It's there because that's where it's a secular app. And so there's people that need to hear the gospel on there. And so that's why I'm on there. But even if TikTok were to go away tomorrow, there's other options out there. There's another app called Clapper that's very similar to TikTok that people would just jump on the next day if TikTok went down. And so since we're on there now, and if you're listening, more than likely, you're one of the 170 million Americans that are on there, you know, let's talk through the benefits of being on TikTok first, before we go to the disadvantages, both for our personal lives, both our personal faith in Jesus. What is it doing to our faith as a benefit? And how is it being a benefit to our churches or to the church in general? Now, I saw a secular website that said major advantages of the TikTok app: endless entertainment. That goes back to the 7 hours a day of scrolling through. TikTok can make you famous. that's a selling point for a lot of people. Everyone and anyone can edit TikTok videos. You don't have to be a graphic designer. The mega fan base and the following that you might get, a suitable option for business promotion, hanging out with groupies, and you don't need to have specific skills to make a video. Yeah. So according to the world, those are the benefits. What do we think as far as our faith goes? What are the benefits of not just TikTok, but social media in general?
So the benefit is taking any of that and making it Christian, right? Like hanging out with your groupies. Okay, so if you're a Justin Timberlake or Taylor Swift fan, you can hang out with your groupies. If you're a Christian and you follow a certain pastor or you follow a certain podcast or you follow a certain artist, now you can do the same thing. You can discuss and hang out with your groupies, but it's, you know, Christian focused. Business promotion, nonprofits, churches, certainly. The make you famous, scary. Probably don't want to run after that, although out of the 170 million, I'm sure that all of us, me included, wouldn't mind waking up tomorrow and being like, oh, I have tens of millions of followers. I'm famous. That's cool. You know, at the same time, while there's all that benefit, the scary thing is no one wants to take the time to really like check if something is right. And no one really wants to take the time to dig. And then there's other times that nobody wants to take the time and really discern if what is said is not only right, but for them. And that's what scares me. That's the biggest thing that scares me. A pastor in a church that you don't go to, speaking over a congregation that you're not part of, says something that is positive, hope-filled, fortune cookie-esque, prosperity-centered, purpose-driven, and you just happen to scroll across it and you're like, yes, God has that for my life. Does he? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the truth is, I would argue the overwhelming majority of yes Christians don't take the time to ask, does he? And don't take the time to pray, God, is this what you have for me? Instead, they just want to believe it.
Yeah.
Because it makes them feel good. And so they're just going to believe that. And that's really the scary part. That's the scary part with anything. That's the scary part with podcast. That's the scary part with social media. That's the scary part with anything. And that's one of the reasons that I really like what we do on this podcast, because like you mentioned a moment ago, we're talking about social media, but really what we're wanting you to do as listeners is take an assessment of your life.
Yeah.
And take this kind of stuff to God. And the reason we say keep your eyes on Jesus, we're not saying, hey, everybody, watch us keep our eyes on Jesus. We're saying keep your eyes on Jesus throughout the week, is because that is the only way you're going to be able to discern this stuff. And I truly believe that there are good things spoken by good people that are actually accurate and biblical that are still not meant for your life in this season.
Yep.
And what do we hear on TikTok? Well, we hear the best of the best. We hear the best pastors and the best messages and the best parts of their message and the most positive, hope-filled parts of their messages. And so why wouldn't we just accept that as our own life? And it's like that, you can get that at a therapy session. Like you can get, you know what I'm saying? Like you can get that by just calling up a good friend and saying, hey, will you blow smoke for a minute about my life? Like that's not how this works. Like you are to take everything to God. And while TikTok certainly has the advantages of all of these Christian movements being able to move forward, get larger, have a voice, have impact, then you immediately got to question the impact. Mm-hmm. Is it a healthy impact? Is it the kind of impact we want to have? Should every pastor be able to talk to every congregation? I don't know. I don't know. And that's the thing, man. Like, that's what's so difficult is like, I'm sharing what I'm seeing, but I don't know. I'm still wrestling with it. I'm still in the process of it. You know, we just spent some considerable money to get cameras and start recording messages so that they can be on YouTube. And we're, you know, we're doing the whole editing thing through DaVinci Resolve, and we're putting them on TikTok, and we're doing CapCut, and we're doing all the things that everybody does, and we're seeing movement with it. But the worst thing in the world would be that someone would hear something that I say that's not meant for them and then take it as their own.
Yeah.
So no matter if it's my voice or somebody else's voice or Tim's voice or anybody's voice, or even if the voice is this podcast, your role, Christian, your role is to keep your eyes on Jesus. Take what you're hearing, take what you're believing for, and give it to God. And then he is the, like, the trump card, man. He knocks down everything. He is the one to listen to. So if he's leading you in a place that's counter to the most popular pastor on TikTok, then guess what? God wins.
Yeah.
God wins.
Yeah, I agree with that. And there's a lot of stuff you hear that's just good wisdom, that's Bible verses, that's scriptural.
Sure.
But when you hear that stuff, it's all surface level, because the difference is when you're plugged into a congregation, you're going to use your gifts, you're going to help grow the body, and you're also going to receive discipline from a pastor. And when you just hear these TikTok pastors that tell you what you want to hear, you'll either never be involved in a local church to the point that you receive discipline and correction, or when you do, you're going to quickly leave that church and be like, I like hearing Craig Groeschel because he's my friend and buddy, and he's got buff arms, and he tells me what I want to hear. And
he's
he'll
got
never,
3 points in his messages, and,
he'll never hurt me.
Letter.
He'll never tell he'll me never something I don't me. Want to hear.
Ever,
so
ever.
We've also created this de-churched culture that just gets their knowledge of the Bible on social media, which is extremely dangerous. And the balance is having most of your time in the Word, in prayer, and getting a small percentage of your day. I mean, the benefit for me is I scroll through and I see a cool quote from somebody. I'll see a Bible verse that just, as I'm scrolling, I need to remember this, or that's a good verse I never heard in a long time. Or I hear a sermon from a certain number of people that I like listening to, or I see a new building that's being built for a church. Hey, good for them. Or I see a new ministry being grown, or a mission movement, or I see something that's happening in the world that I can say, hey, that's great. I can see prayer requests, right? If you have a, you know, social media also includes like what your church has. Like, we have Slack channels. I mean, that's kind of social media. It's a messaging thing. And so you can get prayer requests, more of intimate level. You can get the broader approach, like TikTok. You know, I've learned both what is true and both what is not true as far as doctrine goes from TikTok, from hearing people debate about random things. And I mean, TikTok is full of endless debates. I mean, you can go live, you can invite people to debate, and then you just invite people in to hear the nonsense. And there's not much edifying about that. It's just endless arguments. You see atheism, you see creationism, you see evolution, you see God's not real, Jesus. I mean, whenever I see a video, and I saw one this morning, and it starts by Jesus was never resurrected, instant scroll through, because I don't need to hear that anymore. I've heard that stuff so much because it's just constant. And even if someone's responding to it with like, oh no, this is why it's real, I don't personally want to hear that stuff anymore. I hate the back and forth that comes from people that have no credibility, no credentials, that tell us something brand new, you know, this brand new information that's going to change your faith. I mean, it's ridiculous, because nothing's new under the sun. And if you go look at church history, there were modalism. There was all these people that grew up in the ranks of having like these heretical things, which is why you had the councils of Nicaea and different councils that came up, is because they had to address the heresy that came up from a pure movement of the book of Acts into people trying to twist it for their own gain
or
something that it didn't mean. And so even though we see this stuff now, we have to realize that this is nothing new. The amount of splits just from churches over the years where someone says, we're going to do it right this time. This denomination was a little bit off. Ours is going to be the true way of the way the disciples meant it and way Jesus meant it. And now you have thousands and thousands of denominations because of man always trying to make this ideal thing in their head of this is the perfect way, instead of finding tension between, you know, someone that might believe a little bit differently than you, but fighting for unity. Because John 15, Jesus said, of all things, be one as the Father and I are one. He told his disciples to fight for unity. And what we've done is we've fought against unity. We've built up our own kingdoms. We followed men. I mean, I actually like studying cults because you can see like just how things went horribly wrong and just wonder why people fell for it. And also have a cautionary tale of, oh, this is something that, you know, can happen before you know it if you follow the wrong people. And there's all these weird, you know, fringe cults on TikTok as well. And so to get back to the benefits of why, you know, I'm on TikTok, you know, my story I've shared on here, you know, God called me back into social media in 2018 when I wanted to delete it all and get rid of it off of my life. And so I've tried to make it beneficial for people who do follow me to be closer to Jesus, hence the name of this podcast, and grow in discernment, you know, making decisions that honor God and lead us up on a path of blessing for our life. Because if we're discerning correctly, if we're seeing this whole world of fallacies and problems and things that are against the Bible, if we can properly discern truth from falsehoods, then we can set ourselves up to be on the path, the narrow path, following Jesus.
Yes.
And set ourselves up on a path of blessing for our life, which is not just financial blessing or any other type of blessing you want to, but a blessing where I'm in God's will. I'm following him for better or worse. And that's a perfect way to be set up. And just to real quickly on what you said, like I see that too on Facebook where someone will throw out a random prophecy. God is releasing financial blessing for you today. Comment amen if you agree. It's insane how many people comment amen.
Yeah,
because they think because they think that somehow this random prophecy that God's releasing the floodgates of this today. That goes out to millions of people and you think somehow because you see it, name it and claim it, that's going to be for you. That's not how prophecy works. Let's do an episode on prophecy sometime. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, we should absolutely do an episode on prophecy. And that's really the thing is when we talk about taking things to God, like even when someone prophesies over you, that is a moment where someone is believing that through the power of the Holy Spirit, they have been led to prophesy over your life, to encourage you, to give you sometimes visions that they've seen. Words that have entered their soul in order to express on behalf of God something to you. But biblically, we are to then discern from that.
Yeah.
Like, I've had people prophesy over me things that are in complete contradiction to what God is telling me in that season. Does that mean that they're not like being authentic? No, it's just, this is where they felt led and they thought God was leading them. But if I know where God is taking me and that's in contradiction, then that means either that's something maybe down the line, or maybe that's just something that was misinterpreted. You can't just like take it for what it is. And it's just really frustrating to see, you mentioned fight for unity, to see the tension that's on TikTok. What we're seeing right now in our, you know, colleges and universities is really unbelievable. In fact, that's something I'm going to address head on this Sunday in my sermon. And then we're also, as a church, going to respond next week. And you'll see more about that on social media, I'm sure. But we just have to be really careful. And like anything, we need to be humble in our approach. And we need to have great discernment in what we see, what we hear. And the other side of this with the whole TikTok ban, part of me is like, yeah, ban TikTok. Because, you know, there's just so much divisiveness and everybody's upset at everybody. Yeah. There's another part of me that recognizes this is dangerous territory to get into from a government standpoint. Hmm. When your government, and it's not just about banning TikTok, like understand that in this bill that could ban TikTok, or at least, like you said, put restrictions around it. Read the fine print. There's authority being given to the government to basically decide what you hear, what you see, what is good for you, what's not good for you. They're making decisions for you. They're making decisions for your children. And they're deciding on that device that everyone has.
Yeah.
They're deciding how you're going to use it. That's a really dangerous thing. And I'm really big on allowing people to, you know, make their own decisions. I'm really big on not trying to play a parent to someone else's child. And so I think what you decide to do in your home and what God is leading you and what kind of parent he's leading you to be is between you. But very dangerous territory for a government to say, everyone, this isn't good for you. This isn't healthy for you. This isn't appropriate for you. And thank you for submitting to that decision like we also did all throughout COVID. And we're just going to continue to press down. It's really dangerous.
So think about this. So our same government that hides things from us, that approves things through the FDA that shouldn't be approved, that has pharmaceuticals that are killing people.
Yep.
Don't get me started on vaccines. And then,
and
then you have the same government that is corrupt in many ways. That's not even a debate point. The same government is concerned about TikTok.
Yeah.
That should concern you.
Because China could get your data and do what with it? Shut down our banks? Well, then figure out, you're the government, protect us. Figure out a way to not have our banks get shut down. Figure out a way for them not to hack us. Like, is that what the concern is? What's the concern?
It's really not about our privacy because if you're on any app, they already have your information. They already can track you. You know how the apps say, ask it not to track you? Because the apps talk to each other now. And so if you talk
there's one app.
And this is not even conspiracy. If you talk with your friend about something that you want to buy and the next minute you're on Facebook and you see an ad for that thing, that's a real thing that happens because they're listening.
Right.
It's listening to you.
Right.
And so if they can get your voice, if they can get your information, I just hope they're not doing anything evil with it. Well, okay. We don't trust the Chinese, but do we trust the American government with their stuff?
Oh, no. Everybody's corrupt, man. Everybody's corrupt. And it's all, and this is nothing new. This is power. This is money. This is how it works. And I do feel like we're getting to a breaking point, a tipping point. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I actually think that, you know, at some point when a pendulum swings to full on technology, full on AI, full on phones, full on all that stuff, eventually the pendulum swings back to the other side. And I do believe that there's going to be a generation that goes, you know what? We're done with phones. Like, I do believe there's going to be a generation that says, we're done with social media. We're done with phones. Like, this is a wrap. I do believe that's coming. Yeah. I don't believe it's Gen Z. I don't really believe it's even my kids because they're kind of already in it. But as we start to see the psychological and long-term effects of raising children in this environment, it will be interesting to see how parents respond. I do find it interesting, by the way, that how long has the iPhone been out? When did it release?
Oh,
wasn't it like 2004?
It might have been
somewhere
six.
Around there.
Yeah, it was in the mid-2000s.
Okay, so we're about 20 years, right, into this. So if you look at the situation going on at our universities where everybody's protesting, you're either for Israel or against Israel or whatever. You know, 18 years ago, Hamas was elected into power by the people of Gaza. Okay, so this is a real thing. Now, of course, Israel has some responsibility and we can get into all that and that goes deeper and deeper and deeper. But they were elected. They were put into power. And for 18 years, they've used technology, propaganda, education, and training to develop a generation that believes certain things. Right now, at all of our Ivy League schools, UCLA, Texas, Florida, all these places, we have a generation that through education, training, technology, and propaganda has all been raised up to believe a certain thing. And that is anti-war, anti-America, anti-Christian.
Yeah.
It's a scary thing. It's a scary thing because after the generation was raised up in Gaza, this is what happened. And now we have a generation that is peacefully protesting on college campuses, peacefully being, we're peaceful, but we're still going to, you know, be cruel, destroy campus statues. And I think as of late, the Columbia University president, there were several people that in the middle of the night stood outside of the Columbia University president, their house, their home, and shouted chants in the streets. So this is not something that's going to stay at schools. This is something that will spread. Like we saw the 10,000 plus people in downtown Chicago, like this is going to spread. And so we just have to we have to really watch this. It could be interesting generation over generation, how social media is being leveraged for some people, how it's not for other people. And it just puts so much more weight on good parenting and good and healthy churches.
Yeah. Yeah. 1 Timothy 1:3, Paul's talking to Timothy. And as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer, or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. And this is such a good verse because, you know, you see people debate endlessly on TikTok about things that ultimately aren't going to make a difference because you're not out there advancing God's work. Right. You're sitting behind a screen, maybe in your mom's basement, talking to people, having this millions of followers and thinking that you're doing something by saying that Jesus isn't real or whatever. But the truth of it is that we need both to be filled up so that we can then go and do. And oftentimes you have people that pick one or the other. And I love this verse I read today. It's not a verse. It's a passage in a book called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. It says, granted, extremists have done fanatical things in the name of the Holy Spirit that have frightened many sincere Christians away. Chaotic meetings filled with silly things going on and a lack of reverence for God have driven many people to prefer a quiet, orderly lecture. But this is just another tactic of the enemy to make us throw out the baby with the bathwater. Satan's tendency is always to push us towards one extreme or the other, deadness or fanaticism. And I love that because you see these extremes of people choosing one or the other that want all their theology figured out and just read, and they never tell anybody about Jesus. Their life doesn't exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. And then you have people that just want to go and don't spend the time in the Word to get filled up with what they actually believe, so that when the people do ask them questions, they can have an answer for the hope that lies within them. And so we need both. And I encourage you listening, if you're on social media at all, take an inventory today of why you're on there, what happens when you spend time on there. And just a quick story for me, I deleted, and granted, I would love to delete all of social media, but again, I do it for our personal ministry podcast and the church, but I deleted Twitter, now known as X. Yep. I deleted it off of my phone. I look at it on my laptop at church once in a while to post a couple of things. But I got caught up in an endless scroll of some of the most nasty things you can see on the internet, because what it does is you can see all kinds of videos of people getting unalived. You can see videos of people, all kinds of stuff, of raw footage of people in the streets. You know, if you look at some of the videos of people rioting right now, you can see some insane things. I saw a dog get shot from a police officer, just, you know, random stuff. But after a while, once you see one thing, it's like, oh, you want to see more of that. Or people robbing banks and what happens to them. And it's everywhere. It's
everywhere.
And so after a while, I had to be like, okay, why am I watching this to begin with? Right. Why am I even allowed to see this? Why is this a thing? And then what can I do about it is the thing. What do I have control over? I can't control nobody seeing it, but I can control what I can see and what my kids can see. So I deleted it. It's not a huge step, but it's a step for me. And I would encourage you today, what step do you need to do? Where do you see your joy and your peace being taken out? How can you either edit your feed on Facebook? You can do that. You can unfollow certain people, certain news sites. If we all know looking at the news can steal our peace and joy. And also, I mean, the amount of conspiracies that I've heard now, being off of Twitter, has gone down 99%. And now I'm just in this little world of like, okay, I know the major headlines going on. I follow, you know, Amir on Behold Israel on Telegram to keep up with what's happening in Israel, because that's legitimately good information. But I also don't hear all the conspiracy things either, which is what I found on X. So that's me. Close this out, Drew. Final thoughts.
Yeah, you nailed it. Everyone needs to take an assessment of what they're using social media for. What's the mission? If it's entertainment, I mean, you just need to monitor that. you know, and we would say that with anything. We would say that with Netflix. Like I spoke with a acquaintance of mine a couple months ago, and they're looking for a job in ministry. And I was like, oh, okay, you're looking for a job in ministry. That's cool. And in our conversation, he also mentioned that he had started the Breaking Bad series. Okay. 6 days later, we caught up again. I said, how's everything going with the ministry stuff? And he's like, yeah, you know, sent out a couple resumes, really trying hard, really trying to get. I was like, cool. And I was like, where are you in Breaking Bad? And he was like, oh, I finished that.
In 6 days?
I was like, dude, that's what? And I was like, you haven't done anything. Like, has that just been on?
Five
seasons. Has that just been on since 6 days ago when we talked? Like, what's going on? And so, like anything, even if it's Netflix, like, just, you know, take a hint. When the TV's like, are you still watching? Take a hint. Okay. Take a hint. Take a hint when you've been sitting on the couch for 7 hours. There's probably something you could do. There's probably something that you could do to benefit someone around you. And it's the same thing with social media. Just be careful, man. And, you know, listen, everybody has their own story. Everybody has their own journey. Certainly yours isn't going to be like mine, and mine's not going to be like yours. But I pray we're really careful. I do feel like we're at a tipping point. And I don't even mean like, oh, the government. Like, I don't necessarily mean that. I just think spiritually, we're at a point where churches are going to have to start making some really tough calls. Yeah. And it's going to be harder and harder to stand as a Christian. And it's about to cost us a lot. I just think there's weight right now on churches, on leaders, on Christians.
If you think you're getting persecuted because TikTok's getting banned, consider a true persecution of when you start getting beheaded or thrown to the lions like the early Christians were. So.
Exactly.
Anyway, on that positive note, let us know.
I mean, it's weight, man. It's weight. It is. It's real. It's real. I just feel it in my spirit. I felt it.
Yeah.
I have felt it now for months. And that's one of the reasons I'm addressing it this week as a church. And it's one of the reasons that we're talking about what we're talking about on our next episode that's going to come out, where we're addressing some denominations that have made some pretty big decisions that are unbiblical. And so we're going to address that. It's time to start not fighting back. Okay.
Right.
Not that. But it's time to start with our words expressing ourselves. It's time to take a stand. And that's what Christians do. We use our power of prayer. We use our words. We speak and we live in a way that's different. So with that, go with God, grow in discernment, keep your eyes on Jesus.
Thanks for joining us on the Eyes on Jesus podcast with Drew and Tim. Don't forget to hit subscribe. If this episode blessed you, please share it with a friend. Check out the show notes for more ways to connect with the hosts of the show.